Jalen Brown driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
Half court. Finds Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay does not get the shot away in time. It's over. The game, not the Celtics season, regardless of what it looked like an hour ago. And a Boston Celtics season that, like this game, looked like it was gone, has just had new life breathed into it. The Boston Celtics have come from 32 down to beat the San Antonio Spurs as Jason Tatum has tied the franchise record by dropping 60.
And picks little son up. The deuce and saying, son, this one was for you.
One day, many, many years from now, Jason Tatum and Deuce are going to watch this moment back. Yeah. When Jason Tatum tied the Celtics franchise record and then picked up his son at center court. The final score, Boston 143, San Antonio 140.
Be candid, I was pissed, like disappointed. We can't be like that. I've said all the time, it's easy to play from behind, and it's really hard to hold a lead in this league. There's nothing more uncomfortable than being up big early in the game. I guess I'm dual emotions right now. I'm happy with the comeback. I'm happy with the effort. Love the way that we played and competed. But the starts are ridiculous. That was ridiculous. How we started. Yeah. You know, if we want to be any good, we're going to have to change that.
All right, I led with that sound for a reason with Brad Stevens. Obviously, we know the headlines of this game last night. Jason Tatum scoring 60 points, leading the Celtics. Big 32-point comeback of the Spurs, 143-140 in overtime. Sports Up Celtics Show, abbreviated version. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, if you'd like to join us, 617-779-0985. What Brad Stevens said after the game I thought was so perfect, Chris, because, like, it's gross. These starts are ridiculous. That you're getting blown out of the building in that first half to the 9 seed in the West, like, I'll tell you. So, and I'll want more of your perspective on the game because you were in the building with our friend Jay. You had great seats. I tapped out at halftime. And for those watching at home, Abby Chin at half tries to go to Kendrick Perkins, who's just sitting there in his big throne, wants some assessment from him of this hideous first half, and he just literally sat there and said nothing. And Abby was like, okay, technical difficulties. And Kendrick Perkins, as they're going to commercials, like, nah, I just got, like, nothing to say. Because that's where I was like, I'm good. I'm not watching any more of this crap. This team is embarrassing. I started flipping around. Leaving Las Vegas was on. I'll watch that for the millionth time so I can see Elizabeth Shue throw in the high 90s. So that's what I tuned to. And then I watched the movie in its entirety again. And then I flip back over. I'm like, let's see how bad these losers got blown out. And I come back. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? Holy crap. And I know that, you know, Tatum had what at halftime? Like 25?
24 at halftime.
24 at halftime.
Said to our friend, Jay Bramble, who I went to the game with, former Felger and Maz producer for NBC Sports Boston. Jay Bramble. What up, Jay? I said to him, because he was maybe thinking about leaving, and I said, well, we should at least stay. Tatum has 24. He's going to drop 50.
Yeah. Well, good on you, because if I was in Jay's shoes and I was your plus one, I'd be like, I'm out. So good for you for sticking it out. And look, as negative as I've been, and I think rightfully so, on the Celtics team over the last month or so, or maybe as this whole season, because I think they've been incredibly frustrating. And, you know, you see them losing to Oklahoma City earlier in this week, and it's like, oh, God, this is what they really are. Last night, in a capsule for one night, that's a great story. It's a hell of a comeback. And I'm not, like, going to be old man shaking my fist at the club and be like, no, I didn't want him to tie Larry Bird. Like, that's a cool story. Good for the kid. You can understand why people believe, like, you know, while they're chanting MVP last night when he's at the free throw line. I get it. It was a ridiculous night for him. It's a good night for him. Does this change my perspective of them? Are they going to go anywhere deeper in the playoffs? No, but let's just keep it to Friday night in this game against the Spurs. It's a good night.
Oh, it was an amazing night. But I think look, from a big picture standpoint, it's a microcosm of their season and who they are. There's so much talent there and so much capability and so much potential. And what's maddening for fans and for Brad Stevens is, how does the same team that scored 80 points in the second half, and that's not overtime, just the second half, they scored 80 points in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. How does that same team allow 77 in the first half and allow the Spurs to shoot better than 70% from the field in the first half? It's just a lack of effort. And they don't, I said this to Jay at the game when we were watching it, they don't get connected or lock in defensively until their back's completely against the wall. And that's sort of the issue. For whatever reason, I mean, the defense was so much better. San Antonio missed some shots, but the defense was so much better in the second half, and it started in the third quarter.
And how about with your guy Neesmith, too, who was
yes.
all over
there? Yeah, so, he was. And now, hopefully, he's in the rotation for real. You know, career-high 16 points. He always seemed to be in the right spot. Frankly, you know, if you put a Marcus Smart, you put that name on the back of Neesmith's jersey, you'd have people slobbering all over themselves today over the way that Neesmith played, because he was the one making all the smart plays last night, and he actually scored on top of it.
It's just, I led with that Stevens audio for a reason, and I think he was right to be so even-keeled about it, and he said there, and I'm paraphrasing, it was something along the lines of, like, I don't know how to feel. Like, on the one end, like, that's great for Jason Tatum, it's a good comeback
Amazing.
Win. But on the other, like, that is, it's disgusting how they started that game. And so I would just, again, it's great, and you want, like, if you went like Chris did, you're like, I was at that 60-point
yes,
game.
It was so good.
I would just, you know, listen to that Stevens quote after the game and, you know, just don't get wrapped up in, like, the wow factor of one night, because that was essentially, I mean, they're all must win at this point for seeding purposes.
Yes.
And you come out, you fall behind by 32 points to the 9 seed in the West, Chris. So, like, they're still consistently inconsistent. And that's what's so effing frustrating about
So I think
them.
The real test here, there have been a couple of times this year where they've had these moments that you feel like are seminal moments in the season and a turning point, and then it doesn't work out that way. They sort of revert right back to who they've been all year. So where do they go from here? You know, they sort of got a reprieve, and frankly, they didn't get it. They earned a reprieve against San Antonio. Do they take the momentum from this? Do they take the lesson from this and use it as a stepping stone or in a launching pad to fulfill their potential? Or does this just sort of further ingrain in them the idea that, hey, we're good enough to just turn it on whenever we want and win?
Have you felt like Brad Stevens has kind of tightened the rotations here in recent games?
Yeah,
you just feel like, yeah. You know, you saw a little bit of Williams and Waters, but just I'm looking at the stat sheet here, good, but it does feel like he has figured something out here and tightened things up, or at least over these last handful of games.
Yeah, I mean, you're not seeing Jabari Parker. He was a DNP coach's decision again. Romeo Langford seems to be out in favor of Aaron Neesmith, which I would applaud just because Neesmith is a better scorer and has played more of the year. They're really asking Romeo Langford to do a lot by just jumping into this thing. You're not seeing Luke Kornet out there. It does feel like the rotation is a little tighter. And I said to Jay last night when we were at the game, I like the fact they gave some minutes to Tremont Waters with Kemba Walker out, because whenever that kid gets in the game, he's like the anti-Carson Edwards. Whenever he gets in the game, he does stuff. He does something that helps them, whether it's a pass, whether it's a steal, whether it's knocking down a shot. That guy's just an instant jolt of energy, and I'm glad that they used him on a night where they didn't have Kemba. So it feels like maybe Brad is solidifying the rotation a little bit, and hopefully it sticks. But again, that's the maddening thing about this Celtics team. It feels like nothing sticks with these guys this year, and hopefully we can look back, and this is not just one great night where Jason Tatum scored 60, and really, I'll be honest with you, man, he made it look so easy. It was ridiculous how easily he was scoring. And not
even
just
on double teams.
Oh,
and
it was
stuff
unreal.
Too.
I mean, so I'm going to be honest, being at the game and watching him drop this 60 points sort of changed my opinion of Jason Tatum.
Really? Okay.
It did. And it's not just the points. It was how easy he made it look. And I can see from the Celtics standpoint in Angel's, I walked out of that game saying, you can't trade a guy who can score that easily in the NBA. He makes it look so easy to score, and that's very, very rare.
So when I tuned in late in the fourth and in the overtime, yeah, I would agree with that. So and I'm not saying this is a reason to, like, you know, when there's been talk, like, you could have split up the Jays or
yeah.
anything like that, but isn't that one of the things that bothers you? Because even when he was super hot before the shutdown, in the before times of February of 2020, it's like, okay, it's the switch has been flipped with this kid.
Yeah.
And then he's just maddeningly inconsistent, Chris. Like, you'll see that. And you're like, you could do this every night if you wanted to, and he just doesn't.
Yeah, you're right about that. And the Celtics would tell you consistency will come with maturity and age and growth, and there's still some age and growth there. I mean, it is still annoying how much he barks at the officials, and when you're at the game like I was last night and you're seeing it up close and personal, you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're not even paying attention to what the next defensive set is or what you guys are doing. You're spending this entire free throw talking to the official about the call you should have gotten. So that will be part of the maturation process. But, man, to watch him score 60 like that, and here's the other thing, a couple of things I want to mention on this. First of all, he's the second youngest player in the history of the NBA to score 60 points. The youngest was Devin Booker when he dropped 70 on your Celtics. Also, do you know he scored 60 points and had no turnovers?
No, that's crazy. Like, especially
zero
as sloppy
turnovers
as this team has been as of late, too, with the turnovers. No, that's impressive. And that they went into an extra frame with that, too.
Yeah, zero turnovers. That's unbelievable. So you see the potential. And this win for the Celtics, it was the biggest comeback in the NBA. You have to go back to 2009 to find a bigger comeback. The Kings came back from 35 down against the Bulls. So you see everything that you love about the Celtics in this game. The question is, can they bottle it? Will it translate? Or will they go right back to where they were before?
All right, we'll get your thoughts on Tatum's big night here in our next segment, 617-779-0985, before we wrap up an abbreviated Sports Hub Celtics show. So now's the time to get in. You want to talk about Tatum's night, 617-779-0985.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics show on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Excitement is building for another banner.
Round for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum's second free throw. It's good. There's the 60.
It was a special night. Playing with guys that you just enjoy being around that are genuinely happy for your success. We all see all the hard work that each and every one of us put in every day. So when, you know, someone, myself or whoever it is, has a night like that, you know, just to share that moment with them is special, and have your teammates be happy for you, it means everything. You know, obviously to come back and win, this was a great night.
Tatum was amazing. As you know, we needed every one of those 60 points.
Jason Tatum and Brad Stevens on Tatum's 60-point night. The Celtics comeback win over the Spurs last night. John in the car. Your thoughts on Tatum's night. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been listening to sports radio for a long time, and I keep hearing you guys constantly bash Tatum, and I find it so ridiculous. What exactly is the talented roster on this team besides Tatum and Brown? I see a bunch of guys that basically suck, and it's a two-man team. I mean, have you guys bought into the market smart hype? Or
No, we haven't. But I mean, let me ask you this. You look at some of the other people around the league. Like, so what is Bradley Beal working with? What is Damian Lillard working with? I mean, if you're a superstar,
exactly.
shouldn't you make the guys around you better? So, I mean, I think he's been
And what's Bradley Beal's record? And how many times have Damian Lillard gone to a conference finals? You've proven my point that without a good team around you, you're not going to get to the finals just by being one good player.
Okay, so then when they went to the conference finals with these two, when Hayward and Irving were out, then that wasn't, we can't give them credit. It was the team around them then. You agree?
The first time they went to the conference final, the team was actually much better.
So then we agree. So it wasn't, so we shouldn't give Tatum and Brown credit for that. It was the team around them, right? Right?
You give the whole team credit.
Yeah, so we're saying the same thing. So I don't want to hear from Celtics fans, these guys have gone to XYZ conference finals as young guys, and that's why we should invest in them, and they can't do anything wrong, because you're saying it wasn't really them. It was that they had stronger teams and stronger supporting casts.
It's a call like that sometimes, you know, I battle in my head sometimes, like, who's the bitchiest fan base? Is it the Patriots or is it the Celtics? And then I'm like, no, it's always the Pats fans, like those that hardcore baby Pats fans. But then I hear a call like that, I'm like, oh, right, no, yeah. It probably is.
Hey,
the
man, you want to blast us on Tatum after the 60 points? Like, I feel you, but you just got to come legit with it, and don't. That to me is the quintessential Celtic fan. You know, when things go badly, oh, there's no one around them. When they go to the conference finals and lose to LeBron, and it's like, well, they should have even been there. Wow, those guys were amazing. Yeah. They dragged us to the conference finals. So which is it? They're capable of dragging you to the conference finals on their own because they're so talented, or they need a better supporting cast around them to get there, and if they don't have it, they can't do it. Because you know what? It can't be both. I just blew a giant hole in your logic. You're welcome.
Ryan in the car, you're next to the Sports Up Celtics show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener. Am I crazy to believe that Naismith is just a better version of Smart? I mean, his plus minus is better, more points, less turnovers. He got the game-winning steal. I mean, in every category, he just seems better.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Ryan, he plays with an attitude that I like that is Marcus Smart-esque, and I feel like, you know, they lack that at times, and it's not like he's seeking to shoot at every opportunity like Marcus Smart is. But in terms of an attitude and the passion he plays with, Chris, there's a bit of recklessness with his game too. But
there is. You know what his nickname is?
No, what?
Crash.
Oh, is it really?
Because he's always hitting the ground. Max and Grandy were talking about that. They were talking about that the other night. I think it was against Charlotte. They were talking about that. Yeah, I mean, you know, they're sort of different players. I think Smart is a much better facilitator, ball handler, and Neesmith is a much better shooter. But if Neesmith can kind of become that 3-and-D type guy, those guys are so valuable in the NBA.
Well, it's two consecutive really good games by him.
Yes.
And it's just, I don't know, is this one that you look at or this little quick little stretch he's in a game like last night, and you're like, see, this is why he should have been playing him more earlier in the season.
I do. I mean, I think I can blah Brad a little bit on that. Like, he was rough the beginning of the year, and I understand why he was out of the rotation, but there was a point there where they started losing games, and he was coming on, but they were losing, and it was like, we're just going to do change for change's sake. And I think, you know, they needed to slow down the Romeo Langford hype train a little bit. There were DNP CDs for Neesmith just because Romeo Langford was back. I think that was a little unfair. But I'll tell you this. The most important thing to me is Neesmith was out there in crunch time, as the caller pointed out, had the game-winning steal. He was out there in crunch time, and he looked completely comfortable. He looked like he belonged.
Craig, wrong pipe. Craig in Brookline, you're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show.
That's the first time you've said that, huh?
Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah. Very quickly, on a side note, you two need to get your own show during the week. I love listening to you on the weekend. But in any case, so tell me if I'm seeing this right. Last night, I feel the team's lazy. Look, you know, they get down by 32, and typically the old Celtics, the way they would try to come back from that, they start chucking. Marcus Smart would throw up maybe 12 threes a game. Mm-hmm. So one thing that I thought was different in their comeback was they actually tried to work, try to find a better shot. They weren't chucking up lazy threes. And, you know, for what it's worth, I look at the box score every night, and when I see Marcus Smart shooting 1-for-10, and I don't mean to bash him, it drives me crazy. So one thing I thought was different last night, they actually tried to work for a better shot. Obviously, Tatum scoring 60 was amazing. And to your point, Chris, it was effortless. It was amazing. But the thing that I – and tell me if it's fair or not – they talk about Brad being a great defensive coach, but at the same time, I don't know how much he worked on offense. And when I say that is that I look at these, you know, bad shot selections, this and that, this sort of hero ball that's happening. But last night just seemed different. And I don't know if that's going to carry over, but I'd love to hear what you guys think.
I thought the key sequence there, that three-pointer that Jaylen Brown hit on a night where he really wasn't getting it going, the ball movement on that was great. You know, the ball swings, goes from Tatum to Marcus Smart. Lonnie Walker, for some reason, runs out at Smart and leaves Brown in the corner, who was having a tough shooting night. They move the ball. They get that three. That was great ball movement. And they've done it at times this season. It just, like everything with them, it hasn't been consistent. And I can't give you a reason for that. And I bet you Brad Stevens can't give you a reason for that. And I think that's what's most frustrating for the Celtics and their brass, is they can't figure out which team they're going to get on a night-to-night basis and why.
So you're there in-house
yeah.
for the third 60-point game with no turnovers, as you said, in yeah. NBA history. First time a player in NBA history scoring 60 points with 5 assists and zero turnovers. Is this what else can he do? Like, I mean, obviously you want to see he and this team win a championship,
yeah.
but in terms of you know, the zenith in one game for Jason Tatum, can he do better than this?
Oh, can he score more than 60? I think the challenge for Jason Tatum is we know he can score. And now it's to be able to have a night like that, not necessarily 60 points, but become like what a Kawhi is or a LeBron is, where you're able to do that and score and then impact the game in other ways with your passing, with your defense, with playmaking, the way like a guy like Chris Paul does, just in terms of being able to facilitate the offense and facilitate better shots for people. That's the next challenge for him, because we know he can score and score at an elite level. But can you add other things to your game? Can you score and bring those other components on a night-to-night basis?
All right, Celtics back in action tomorrow night. They'll welcome in the Portland Trail Blazers. You'll be able to catch that here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, the 7:30 tip-off. Coming up, it's the Bruins, who have matinee against the Buffalo Sabres. That's going to do it for us. For Chris Gasper, Jim Murray signing off. Also want to thank Jeff Williams for producing today's show. Judd and Bob coming up next from TD Garden. Bruins, Sabres coming up next. Enjoy your weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.